my lips and upon each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. This lesson we heard from the Old Testament this morning is interesting, especially if you understand the context. Saul was king over Israel, and he had turned from God. And so the Lord said to Samuel, who was a prophet, "Go and see Jesse, and I will point out, I want you to anoint one of his sons, and he will become king over Israel." So Samuel went, and when the people there saw him coming, they were frightened. It says, the elders of the city came to meet him trembling. This is not a conqueror. This is not the head of an army. He doesn't own a sword. He has no troops. This is a prophet of God. Just a little man, a prophet of God. But what they fear is that he's a prophet of God. And when Samuel speaks in the name of the Lord, the people tremble. And so they're frightened by the presence of this man, Samuel, and they're certain that he will say something which will cause Saul to come after him, and great chaos will result. Samuel says, "No, don't worry, I just come to sacrifice." And then he goes with the heifer, sacrifices it, and then he goes to Jesse, and he says, "Jesse, bring your sons out. The Lord has told me I must anoint one of them as king over Israel." And so Jesse trots out his firstborn. You know, the firstborn in those days inherited everything. They took over the mantle of their father. And he brings out the firstborn, and Samuel looks at the firstborn and he says, "This isn't the one." God tells him, "This isn't the one." And so he goes right down the line looking at all of these young, strong, strapping sons of Jesse. And with every son that he looks at, he says, "This is not the one." And finally, he turns to Jesse and says, "Are there no more sons?" And Jesse says, "Well, there is the little one. He's out in the field tending sheep." And so Jesse says, "Bring in the little one. Let me see him." And the one who no one ever would have guessed would be qualified to be king over Israel, the little shepherd boy, God says, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. Can you imagine that? What his brothers would think, the little son, the little one, of no account, the one left out with the sheep. The Lord says, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And as we all know, David became a great king over Israel. And one of the things that David did as king over Israel is he wrote music. He wrote songs. It's what we call the Psalms. It's just a Hebrew word that means song. These were not said by the people in that day. They were sung. In fact, if you look at the beginning of each of the Psalms of David, it'll say a Psalm of David or a Song of David to the musicians or to the leader of music, and even gives instructions on what instruments are to be played as that song is sung. And the same is true of the 23rd Psalm. And this is a psalm which David wrote, which reflects his view of God as his shepherd. Now, David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. The people of Israel in that day knew what it meant to be a shepherd. Folks, we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue what it means to be a shepherd. We don't know anything about sheep. Very few of us haven't lived on farms. We live in the suburbs and in the cities. We don't know, most of us, what farm life is about, and particularly what raising sheep is about. What I'd like to do today, if I may, is give some insight into this psalm, what it meant when it came from David's heart, and what it means in our lives. Now, when I was a kid, I was raised in the suburbs during the winter. But every summer, we went to my uncle's farm in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and we got to be dairy farmers. And we got up early in the morning, long before I get up these days, to bring the cows in and to milk them, and then to bring the milk up to the dairy. And one of the things that I learned very quickly is that a farmer on a family dairy farm knows every one of his cows. And every one of those cows has a name. It's not a joke that you hear cows referred to in milk ads as Bessie or Bossy or Julia or Terrence or Teresa or Mary or Joan. All of the cows that a small farmer owns are named. And he knows every one of those cows by appearance and by personality. If you haven't lived on a farm, you don't know this, but cows have personalities. In fact, when they come in the morning to be milked, they each go to their own stall. They know where their stall is. It's got a little sign over it with their name. I don't think they can read that. But they do know where their stall is, and they come in to be milked. And they love being milked, by the way. So a farmer knows the names of his cows. The same thing is true of a shepherd in the Middle East. Now, most of our images of shepherds come from public broadcasting, from All Creatures Great and Small, and from other shows about the highlands of Scotland or wherever. And you see the shepherds there out with their sheep and their trusty sheepdog driving the sheep over the hills. This is not how shepherds operate in the Middle East. In the Middle East, shepherds lead their flocks. They do not drive them. They lead them. And shepherds know the names of every single one of their sheep. If they have 100 sheep or 200 sheep, they know every single one. Everyone has a name and a personality. And the shepherd knows when one of those is missing. That's why Jesus talks about leaving the 99 to go and find the one. It didn't happen just by counting. He knows when somebody's missing. I know when somebody's not here on Sunday morning. I'm the shepherd of this flock. Somebody doesn't show up, I see a hole in their seat. I know that that person's not here. And so a shepherd of the sheep knows his people and knows them, knows his sheep and knows them by name. And so this psalm, which we heard this morning, tells us a lot about how God regards us. Because this is David reflecting as a shepherd on how God keeps his sheep. And so he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." The images that this conjures up of plenty and freshness and green grass which the sheep eat and cool still water which they drink. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Let me tell you about that. The sheep trusted their shepherd. There are areas where the rocks are hard, where there is no food, where there are wolves and other animals which threaten the sheep. Dangerous places, the valley of the shadow of death. Dangerous places. A place where a sheep would never go on its own. For fear of starvation, there is no food there. For fear of being killed by a wolf or another animal. The sheep will not go to these rocky, barren places unless the shepherd leads them. And if the shepherd calls them by name and walks through one of these places, the sheep follow him, knowing that they will be led to safety and to green pasture on the other side, because they trust their shepherd. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. A shepherd who keeps sheep has two implements, sometimes three. David also had a sling. But the rod and the staff, the rod was a stick about this big, very heavy. It's what the Irish, since yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, what the Irish would call a shillelagh, right? And it's used as a weapon. Now this shepherd, when the sheep are attacked by a wolf, goes right into that fray. He doesn't stand back and yell at the wolf. He goes right in, starts swinging that rod to protect those sheep from the attack. He also has a staff. Now he walks with that staff in his stride, but if you look at the top of it, it's got a big hook on it. You know all those pictures you've seen of Bo Peep with that staff and her sheep and that little hook on the top? That hook is to pull the sheep out from trouble. Sometimes the sheep will follow green grass right into the brambles. Sometimes the sheep will even fall off the edge of a cliff and down onto a lower ledge. And the shepherd takes that staff with that crook on the end of it and can use it to put around the sheep's neck and pull it out of danger. So thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Refer both to the stick, which the Lord uses to protect us from our enemies, and to the hook, which he uses to pull us back when we have wandered into trouble on our own. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Remember I told you about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, where it's rocky and there is no food and there are wolves or other animals which might attack the sheep? The shepherd carried with him a large cloth like this, in which he put fresh grass. And then he tied that cloth up and carried it with him. The name for that cloth in Hebrew is table. So when you hear this, thou preparest a table for me. I'm not talking about a table like that. He's talking about this large piece of cloth. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The idea there is that he is leading the sheep from one pasture land to another, but going through very dangerous times, through a very dangerous, dry, rocky place with no food. We've all had places like this in our lives, haven't we? And what he says, that even in the midst of this, thou preparest a table before me. And the idea is that the shepherd takes out this cloth and he opens it up and he spreads it out so that the sheep can eat even in the barest of times, even in the most dangerous of times, even in the rockiest of times, there is still food provided by the shepherd for the sheep. Thou anointest my head with oil. There are two images here. One, David's head was anointed with oil by the prophet Samuel when he anointed him to be king over Israel. And that's how the kings were anointed. Oil was poured on their heads. But there's another image here which also comes from being a shepherd. And that is that each shepherd carried a little vial of oil with him. And when one of his sheep had wandered into the brambles, which they did regularly, and the shepherd had taken his crook and pulled the sheep out of those brambles, their faces would be covered with scratches where they had been cut by the brambles. And the shepherd would take out that vial of oil and rub the oil into those wounds to help them heal. My cup runneth over. It's an expression which talks about his fullness. Remember it said that he was full of the power of the Holy Spirit all of his life? My wife, one time, we had come to church. This is before I had become a priest. We were sitting in church right about there. And our young son, Isaiah, was just home from the hospital, having just been born. And George was with us. And we were sitting in the pew. And the congregation stood up and began to sing one of the great hymns. And my wife began to weep, sitting there holding Isaiah. And I leaned over and I said, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "I am so full. I am so full." And this is what David means when he says, "My cup runneth over. He was so full. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now I want to take this forward briefly and quickly and listen to what Jesus said about himself. This comes from John 10, starting in verse 1. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Understand this now? This is what shepherding is about. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. This is scripture. I'm still reading. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." Now let me just stop there and tell you what this means. They had what were called sheepfolds. These were pens where sheep were kept overnight sometimes when they were in certain areas where these had been built. They had a fence around them. Sometimes it was rocks or sometimes an enclosure in a valley, sometimes a fence that was built. The gate was just an opening. There was no gate there. There was no gate on hinges, nothing to be carried over and placed in the way. It was just an opening. And do you know why? Because after the sheep were led into that sheepfold, the shepherd lied down right there and he slept at that opening. And so if a wolf tried to come in to kill the sheep, it had to go across the body of the shepherd to get to the sheep. So when Jesus says, "I am the gate," that's what he's talking about. He's talking about he himself lying down to protect the opening where the sheep that he keeps and who love him and who know his name are kept safe. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold." He's saying this to his disciples. When he says, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold," folks, he's talking about us. "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." Finally, let me read this piece of scripture from the book of Revelation. "After this I looked," this is Revelation 7:9. "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count." This is heaven being described. Heaven is being described. "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship Him day and night. They are within His temple, and the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Do we know Jesus as our shepherd? Do we hear His voice when He speaks? Do we know that we are called by Him to follow, even through barren times, through danger and darkness, confident that He knows the destination and that it will be good? This is more than simply an ancient and remote metaphor. This is our very life. Jesus is still the Good Shepherd. When He calls, will we turn deaf, look away, remain alone, or will we acknowledge Him and respond? And now I ask you to take out again the 23rd Psalm, which we read. And let's read this together. Let us acknowledge Him in our lives and respond. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now would you bring the cross down?